Welcome to this edition of Sentinel Watch. My name's Tony Loble, and today I'm glad to have with me on the program, all the way from the Democratic Republic of Congo, from Kinshasa, Christian Science practitioner Mayol Shabwila. Mayol, welcome.
Thank you, Tony.
Today we're going to talk about a subject that I know is very close to your heart, Mayol, and that is the practice of Christian Science healing. And it's a topic that is so needed today, where there are so many people who have problems that perhaps they have not yet solved, or we're looking at a world with a lot of issues to deal with. And there is a turning of the heart in people to seek something different from the solutions that are currently on the table and widely known to people, solutions which aren't always bringing the results people hope for. But many people don't know about Christian Science practice. They don't understand or even know that it exists.
I remember myself, you know, growing up, and what you have around you is the material ways of doing things. You know, when you grow up, maybe some of you, those who were raised Christian Scientists, you know, they already had a sense of the value of prayer to heal. Mm. But the majority of people, we grow up in an environment where what you have is materiality. So when you get sick, they tell you to go and see a doctor. They give you pills. Here in Africa, they would even give you some traditional concoction to drink to get rid of your problem. So that's what you know. So you don't know if there is anything else. So unless you get to know that there is something different and you are ready and willing and receptive to the thought, that's when you finally know that, yeah, there is an alternative, that there is something different, that there is something new. And once you know that, once you get to glimpse something of spiritual healing as it is practiced in Christian science, then, yeah, you know, yes, there is something I have been missing, and it is always here, and really it can help solve my problems, the problems of my family, and why not all the other problems, you know, people are struggling with.
So what was your own experience in that? You didn't know about Christian Science when you were brought up, did you? And it was something you found along the way?
Yes, I was already in college. It was in my senior year in college. Then I finally bumped into, you know, a Christian Science periodical. It was the Herald of Christian Science, which is published, you know, in many different languages. Mine was in French. And because I was in search of something, I was, you know, curious. I wanted to really solve some of the problems I had. And I was having quite a few problems about being someone, you know, being successful in life, you know, after my studies. It's then that happily someone came by to visit a friend, and he had in his hands a copy of a Herald of Christian Science. I was curious to see what it was, and he was so pleased to let me look at it. And when I looked at the articles in it, one especially, you know, got my interest, and it had a very interesting title. It was "To Be Someone."
Oh, brilliant.
And really, I really wanted to be someone after graduating from school. Huh. And my future was kind of bleak. And when I saw that title, "To Be Someone," I wanted to know what it was about, how to be a someone, how to be an important person, to a good status in society, maybe money in my pocket, now, you know, nice things in life, you know, to be really valued in society. And when I read the article, you know, it gave me a very different perspective. It talked about God being our Father, and all of us being the children of the one Father, and being already someone, being already important. And it stressed, you know, it underlined that, well, it is not money, you know, the amount of money you have, or, you know, the status you have in society that makes you an important person. It was the understanding of your status as a child of God. And that kind of resonated with me, and I really wanted to know more. So that led me to the discovery that there was a book, Science and Health with Kindred Scriptures. And when I finally laid my hands on the book, well, it was really something I could stay with. And I got very serious in studying it. And that's how finally I came to know that there was something special. There was Christian Science Healing, and it was something I could count on.
Yeah, and that book is by Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health with Kita Scriptures. At the time, did you have already some kind of awareness of God or spiritual ideas or religion? I mean, were you a Bible reader or anything like that?
You know, I was going to church when I grew up. I went to a denominational school, and, you know, where I grew up, good schools were in the hands of missionaries. So if you're willing it or not, you need to be christened to attend such schools. So I went to such a school. So I was baptized and I was christened, and I used to go to church. But it was not about solving problems. It was about, yes, praying God, knowing that He was there up there in the sky. Certainly I knew He was about the clouds there. He must have been there. Uh-huh. And we had to pray Him reverently, knowing that He was there, and to obey the commandments, and mostly be a good man or woman in order to go to heaven. You know, that it was stressed that we need to be good people to go to heaven, especially when we die.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no sense of something practical to help you in your daily life, okay?
Right.
So, and as I told you, I had so many problems growing up. So when I was sick, okay, boy, go to the hospital. So when I needed money, okay, go to your parents, relatives, uncles, and so on. So it's like I wasn't taught to involve God in my daily life, okay, except to be a good boy, and really, you know, to have some sense of a moral sense of life. But then when I, for instance, bumped into problems, I wouldn't say, let me pray to solve the problem. No, it didn't even occur to my mind.
Right.
To say that I could find a solution by praying for this problem. That wasn't there at all.
Right. Well, just bring us round to what a difference then that science and health made in your life. So you clearly had some awareness of Jesus and the Gospels, but you're saying it made this idea of God very practical to you. Is there an example from your experience using those ideas to help find a way forward or guidance or healing?
Yes, of course. You know, the first thing was growing up with many difficulties, being shy, not having what I really wanted to have, and so on. So finally, getting to know what it was that I was as a child of God, it got out of me all the sense of frustration, fear, anxiety about the future, and so on. It was that change, okay, of perspective,
sure,
which was very, very important in the beginning. Then the other things followed. For instance, I had gone to a teacher's training college. So in my country, teachers didn't have a good pay. Mm. Salaries were low. No young man or woman, you know, really wanted to become a teacher at the time. And there I was. I graduated from a teacher's training college, and I was there almost desperate and without being sure of what I would become. But then after glimpsing something of what is written in Science and Health, the ideas about who I was, my identity as a son of God, I calmed down. You know, I became hopeful. I knew that God was there. And pretty soon, things changed. I was assigned to a public school to teach, and I had to wait like over 6 months to get a salary, but I was calm and peaceful. I was praying. I knew that God had me, God knew me. And pretty soon, I was offered a good job. I had not even expected, because the way it came, I didn't even know that the company existed. So I would just ask it, okay, Maya, can you come, okay, and see someone? They're looking for someone here and there. And I went there. And just after 5 minutes of interview, they say, okay, Maya, why don't you start next Monday? You know, it was just the very beginning. After understanding that really I didn't need to worry about life, to understand that really I am in God's hands and God knows I'm here. I am His child. And then the physical healings came, you know, in the book. In Science and Health, there is a lot about healing spiritually, about Christian healing. And I had to experience that myself, because when I first started to work in my new company, it was a United Nations agency. One day, it was an early evening, I wanted to lift a heavy box and I injured my back. So it was very painful. And I had friends in the office with me, and they all said, okay, Maya, please, why don't you rush to the medical center to be treated? And then with what I had learned from Certain Health, they all just let me alone for now. I know what I will do. I will take care of that. Okay, they didn't understand what I was telling them. But then, you know, I stood quiet for the rest of the evening. And then after, at the end of the day, painfully, of course, I took a bus and went to see a practitioner. There already were practitioners, Christian Science practitioners in Kinshasa at the time. So I went to the office of one I knew and told him of the problem. So he assured me that everything was fine. He said that he would pray for me. He had me sit down. He had me give me something to read while he prayed for me. And after about 20 minutes, he said, okay, Maya, you are fine. You can go back home. So I stood up. So I still felt some pain. He could see that I was not maybe very sure that I was healed. He said, you are healed, okay? Just go on and go back home. So I went. I started off and went, took the bus and back home. And before I got home, you know, the pain really had lessened. It was really almost gone. But, you know, I slept without too much trouble. And when I woke up in the morning, well, the pain was gone, completely gone. I was fine, you know, just as before. And when I got to the office the following day, my friends looked at me and they said, is that true? What happened? I said, well, this is what I did. I prayed. I said, no, you know, spiritual healing is done. People don't even know it. So if you tell them that you prayed, they just don't believe you.
Yeah, and that's a really good point you're making about some people wouldn't understand. You know, what was the basis for which the practitioner was saying you are healed, even though you were still feeling pain? I mean, to a lot of people, that will seem like a strange contradiction. Why was it that he said that? And why were you willing to go home with the expectancy that that would prove true?
Well, that's a good point, Tony. If you take it from the standpoint of the practitioner, see, the practitioner knows from experience, from the study of Christian Science, what is the nature of man. Okay. And the practitioner knows that man is not material, that man is created, okay, in the image and the likeness of God. And God is spirit. And when the practitioner, you know, prays for someone or who comes to him as a patient, he knows that that person is complete, is healthy. He doesn't go from the basis of someone who has a broken back. And knowing that, and because that is the truth, the spiritual truth about man, that, you know, results in healing. So I don't know if I get myself understood. So that's the standpoint of the practitioner. The truth is that when it is applied to a so-called physical problem, it does produce results, and it is always so. But that takes understanding, that takes trust, that takes practice.
Yeah, I think a couple of words that came to me as I was preparing for this program was just, compassion and conviction. And compassion is something I think many, many people in the healing practices around the world would say that they need to bring compassion to the job. And I think what I heard from you in that experience with that practitioner is that he got to a point where he had the conviction clear in his own thought that what you were just saying was actually true, that idea of man, which really means all of us, you know, all of God's creation, men, women, children, we are all that spiritual idea, man. And he so clearly saw that that was true that he felt he could tell you to go because he knew that would be proved to be true. And that's a wonderful quality, isn't it? That sense of attaining that conviction of that understanding.
Oh, yes. So without conviction, you cannot do anything. And you mentioned compassion also. So, you know, it's not just, oh, that's nothing. No, you know, like that first experience, he really helped me sit down quietly. And he said, okay, you are God. So you are in God. You are in God's hands. God is with you. You are his child. So he will not let you suffer. Okay, know that God is with you and that God cannot allow you to suffer because you are his beloved child. And of course, I sat there and, you know, you feel that atmosphere of love, that office. And with conviction, he prayed. I could see him that he was convinced. He would, you know, read from the Bible silently. He would read from Science and Health silently. And he would pray. You know, he took time. He took about over 20 minutes to pray. Then he said, Maya, okay, I think the work is done. You are fine. God is with you. You will be fine. You will just go home and everything is fine. So,
yeah.
Compassion and conviction. Because without any conviction, of course, you will not do anything.
Yeah. Well, so you must have gained in your sense of your conviction of all these truths being true. Because as you said, you found them around college time. You went forward, your career expanded, you got a better sense of being the child of God. How did that then take you to the point where you're now feeling that conviction consistently enough that you want to be in the practice helping other people like that Christian Science practitioner helped you?
Isn't something you just say, okay, I would like to do, okay? You feel that desire to do good because you have to be willing to help, but that's not enough. So you have to now deepen your understanding. So you have to get to the conviction of that you know what it is. It's like I'm a teacher, you know, by education. I was educated as a teacher. And, you know, if you go there in front of your students, and you have a problem of physics or problem of mathematics, and you have to solve an equation, and you know that you have the rule to apply, and you know that the result you get, okay, it's the right one because you have applied the rule.
Right.
So it's about the same thing in spiritual healing as we do practices at Christian Chance. You have to, it's about really understanding the nature of reality, which involves God himself and man and then whole creation. So once you know that, once you have that conviction, you start by small beginnings.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, you don't just jump in. As students of Christian Science, we begin, you know, slowly, okay? First of all, you have a problem, you heal yourself, and you find yourself healed. So you pray. And yes, the problem is gone. So, and you are building on your last experience, and you go on.
Well,
you see,
yeah. So, do you have a healing, you know, a clear cut healing of which demonstrates really what we're saying here, that Christian Science can and does heal? It would be lovely to share an illustration from your experience of that.
Well, you see, as I said, that I was in college, and I that's where I came across Christian Science, and then I think a couple of years later, I had a friend of mine. So that friend of mine had gone to the South to university, and he had studied sociology. And after graduating, he went back to our village to teach. So he was teaching in a lycée, so in high school. So while teaching there, suddenly he became very sick, and he didn't understand it. His belly was kind of ballooning. He wasn't understanding what it was. So he went to the hospital there, and they said they couldn't help him. Then they advised him to go to the provincial hospital. So he left our village and went to the provincial hospital. There, all the doctors who were there, they tried to open his stomach, his belly, and he saw that, okay, it was like a cancer, because it said that his bowels were being eaten by a substance which they couldn't, understand. So they said they couldn't do anything for him, and they asked him to go to the capital city, Kinshasa, where I was. So they told him there was there, and there still is, a university clinics, and where they said that we have specialists who could help him. So this friend of mine came to Kinshasa and was admitted to that university clinics. And, his case was very, very special, because they had never seen that before. So couldn't do anything for him. So they didn't tell him, but they told his relatives, this man, he will not be here for long. And before he left the hospital, I went to pay him a visit, because I knew he was there. And then when I stayed alone with him, I told him that, look, I have just discovered something, okay, that proves to be good. Because if you read it, I've read it, there is even a chapter where you have testimonies of healing by people who had been healed just by reading the book alone. So why don't you try it? Are you ready? Can I bring you the book so that you can read it? And he was very receptive, and that's what I admired in him. So he said, okay, Mayal, bring me the book. So I brought him the book, and it was a Thursday. It was one Thursday. And I told him that, look, there are people who are called Christian chest practitioners, and they also do pray for people. And if you would like, I can go and get an appointment for you with the practitioner. And he said, yes. He was so willing. So I left him with the book.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I went to see the practitioner, he told me that, look, Mayal, you gave him the book, let him read the book for a couple of days, and you will see what will happen, okay? Friday, the following week, I was sitting, in front of my apartment, and I saw this guy come. So he came. Uh-huh. He had boarded a bus, and at the time in Kinshasa, you have to be strong, to really board the bus, because the buses were crowded. So that man, I saw him, he came smiling. He came to me. He was asking, does Mayal live here? And I said, oh, here I am. I said, oh. I stood up and hugged him. So, he was still, his, belly was still ballooned. It wasn't flat yet, okay? But he was strong, was smiling. And he sat down and he told me the story that after I had left, he started to read the book.
Right.
Started to read the book and reading and reading and reading. And after a while, he felt that, some strength, came to him, because he was losing strength. He was breathing with difficulty. So the breathing became normal. He even asked for some food to eat. And in Africa, there is a belief that if someone is very sick, he asks for food, that could be his last meal. Okay. So you are hesitant to give him food to eat. But he insisted that, please give me food, I'm hungry. So they finally gave him some food, and he ate. He ate, and then he didn't die. So, and he continued to read the book. So when he came, he knew there was something happening in his body. And I said, okay, now that you are here, you are ready, let's go and see the practitioner. So we again took a bus and went to see the practitioner. It was about almost half an hour, bus ride. So we got there, and then the practitioner received him. So he talked to him. No, I wasn't there. Okay, when he went, he talked to the practitioner, but his aunt was doing her best to send him back to the village so that he could go and die there. But he told me that the practitioner encouraged him not to fear, because he was very fearful that after discovering Christian science, he wanted to stay in Kinshasa in order to get the help he needed. But the practitioner told him that, well, even if he went back to the village, you know, prayer would still help him.
Yeah.
So there was no need to really fear about that. And he also bought his own copy of Sunshine and Health. He gave me back my own. Okay. And we came back home, and, you know, after a week or so, his aunt, you know, flew him to his village.
Uh-huh.
And what I know is that finally this man, people were telling him, well, he doesn't take any medicine. He just, you know, he reads a book. But that's what he does, okay, in the evening. You know, he's already in his room reading that book, okay? And then when he got healed, finally, after 6 months, and he finally got married and, you know, became a father of many kids. So that was something, because even myself, you see, when you come into Christian Science, sometimes, you know, well, what if I am seriously sick? Because sometimes you can, if you have a headache or maybe a toothache, you think, okay, that's fine, a fever. But often you wonder, if you are really sick, okay, if you need a serious operation, will Christian Science help you? You see, but for me, that experience, that healing, erased all my doubt about the efficacy of Christian Science for healing all sorts of diseases.
Right. Tell me, Mayal, what do you love about being a Christian Science practitioner?
Well, let me tell you, first, before I tell you what I love about being a practitioner, is that it is a lot of work, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, just uh-huh. Because, you know, I worked for many years as an employee of United Nations agencies, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So when you are in the office, when you work for any other company, you know that you go to work at 7 in the morning, you know, you get there, you have some dossier to deal with, and then at the end of the day, when time comes to go back home, okay, you close all your files, you know, okay, for the rest, I'll take care of them tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And I come back for now. It's done for the day.
Right.
But then when I became a Christian Science practitioner, it is completely different because, okay, you have to be alert all the time.
Right.
There is no time, there's no way to say, I close my office. And you know that you have to be always ready to help people. That's the sense of readiness. Your mind must be always focused on the truth. And that's good. You know,
it is
good to know that there is always a solution to any kind of problem. And that solution is along spiritual lines. And because you know that God is there. It's not you who is responsible. Because you ask it, what is good about being a practitioner? Because that sense of knowing that there is God. Because often, even before I came into Christian Science, you have that sense of being alone with your own problem, being just abandoned. But with the practice of Christian Science, you always know that we have a father, the father of us all, my father, my neighbor's father, you know, my wife's father. And when there is a problem, you try to take that into that perspective. And that makes life a little bit easy, you see what I mean? Because you are not taking everything on your shoulders, but God is there. And that sense of, you know, being with God all the time, you know, that makes my work as a Christian science practitioner very, very good to do, very, very interesting.
Yes. And I think as a practitioner, what you're saying is you have the joyful task of really being as consciously aware of that as you can, not only when you're dealing with individual patients, but where you're looking out on the world and seeing other issues in your community and even farther afield. You're always trying to bring that sense of what you know about God and everyone's relation to God to bear on those issues. And so that's a task, but it's a joyous task.
Definitely, yes, it is a task, but it is a joyous task, yeah.
So is there a particular healing you can actually share, you know, a specific healing from your practice you're in a position to share with us?
Well, I remember that about 5 months ago, not long ago, you know, I was called a member of a different church. Okay, a Christian church called me to say that his wife was in has just given birth to a baby, and they were in hospital, and the baby is developing some sort of fever first, and some kind of abnormalities also. He is losing weight, so they are very, very anxious, mostly his wife, about the situation of the baby. So I asked to talk to the mother of the baby, because I learned that she goes also to church, in a Christian church. So I talked to her. They tell her that the first thing she had to do was not to fear at all, knowing that the child is an idea of God. He is just that, an idea of God. And an idea is spiritual. And this idea is always governed by its author, because the idea is the idea of God. And God is the author of the idea. We are God's ideas. And because God is the one with the owner of the ideas, we shouldn't think that we have all the responsibility on our shoulders for the baby, and so that we be fearful. So we leave the child in the hands of his father. And that's the first thing to do. And we have to trust that God is there, and we are all governed by God. We live and move and have our being in God, with his spirit, with his mind. So those are some of the ideas I shared, and I continue to pray to affirm that, yes, God is, and you know, a child is just an idea of mind. So he cannot suffer from anything. So he's spiritual, and he remains spiritual. So I prayed along those lines, along with the thoughts, and the following day, the father called me with many thanks, so that the child is normal, is fine. He has started, you know, to just behave well, and no more fever and nothing. And I was so happy to hear that. And it's a joy to hear about the healing of mostly a small child.
You know, the lovely point for all of us is that healing can really happen at any moment, can't it? Because we really are the children of God. And the understanding we get from Christian Science is that means we're completely spiritual. And all we're doing when we're healing is uncovering what's already true, you know, the spiritual facts. And that is the substance of the practice, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is, Tony. It is. The understanding of reality, as we say, we are in a universe. Is this universe material or spiritual? So God created this universe. God is spirit, and we are spiritual offsprings. So how are we related to God? What is this relationship? So God being spirit, being our father, and us being spiritual beings, and all the creation of being spiritual, because if we are in that new paradigm, once we understand that we are, the reality is spirit, and spirit is real. Spirit is there. Spirit is God, and we are God's children. Then the rest will follow. Spiritual practice is what the world needs. Okay, if we all understood what it is and how it works, we wouldn't go for something else. So we wouldn't go for materiality before, and once we bump into a problem, then we go to spirituality. No, we would have spirit as our first and not last resort. We are 100% spiritual ideas. Otherwise, spiritual healing wouldn't even be possible. If you look at the Bible, you will see that the experiences which are shared there tell you that we are spiritual. You know, all the healings, Jesus multiplying the fish and the bread. It is only if you take the world as spiritual that you can understand that experience. Look at Elijah, okay, and his healings, okay, what he did, how he prayed for that child who was pronounced dead and he came back to life. You cannot explain that without understanding that experience is spiritual for those who understand it. Now, take Peter. He's, you know, arrested, put in jail, and chained. And, you know, you have a group of people, you know, praying for him. And what happened? An angel, okay, comes into the prison, wakes him up, you know, and then the chains, you know, just fell from his hands. And he's told to put on his garment and his sandals, and there they go. And all the doors are completely closed. Even the guards are not even seeing what is happening. And there they go. Even the front door just opens. They are all out of the prison, up to the street, and no one knows what had happened to Peter. But if you take that single example, so if we really know that what we are is just a physical body with the flesh and the bones, how could that have happened to Peter? So, of course, the only way to explain that is that we are spiritual. That is that dimension which we've got to understand, and Christian science is bringing that to life, that yes, we are spiritual. We can demonstrate it, and it will take the time it will take, but it is possible because we have seen it. So we are spiritual, and we only need to know that we are so, and learn it and understand it, and we will come to demonstrate it when we really fully grasp what it means.
Well, Mayol, thank you. Certainly some good thoughts there to chew on for ourselves and our listeners. Thank you for coming and joining us today.
You are welcome.
I've been talking to Mayol Shabwila from Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and you've been listening to Sentinel Watch. My name's Tony Lobel. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to you joining us for our future podcast as well.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.